Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman,
you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over, Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Please turn on your magic beat.
Here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a
key. Here's David Hollander.
Are you thinking of moving into a different state to save on some taxes? Well, I know living here in California, you're going to pay some of the highest taxes on your income in retirement. So if you're considering right now selling your home and moving to another state so you can enjoy all that equity you've built up in the ground, well, then you're going to want to listen to the entire show today as I discuss the states with some of the lowest and some of the highest taxes for retirees. You're going to find it here on Protect Your Assets this morning. Good morning. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week. Right here on KMBR, and that's because I am a financial advisor and an attorney. I'm going to dedicate today's show to Dr. Lee Helt. Dr. Helt passed away this past week, and it was sudden, it was unfortunate, but we wish all of our best to him. Up Godspeed and his family, of course, and again, this will be for Dr. Helt. Okay, so if you're thinking about relocating in retirement to a different state, then taxes can be a key consideration in your decision. Sometimes it's one of the only decisions you have to make. But if you move to a different state without knowing what all the taxes are in that state, well, guess what? You could be taking a pay cut in retirement or, in some cases, a pay raise. So maybe you're happy where you're living, but you're just a bit nosy and you want to know what others are paying in taxes. Well, if so, then stay right here as we rank the states with some of the lowest and some of the highest taxes for retirees. It's going to be a big surprise for you. Some of those states people are talking about moving to just aren't that great. So now let's get started. We had a decent week in the markets. The Dow was up 0.7%, S&P up 0.6%, NASDAQ up 0.5%. Isn't that interesting? 5, 6, 7. And the 10-year was flat at 1.55. Everyone thought when the labor numbers were coming out that interest rates may rise and the market might get hit. Well, it didn't happen. So that was pretty good overall. But oil this week, $69 a barrel. Can you believe that? Approaching the 70 price target. And that's great. So anyway, that's how the markets finished this week. We had the weekly jobs number, like I just talked about. It came out on Thursday, and this showed that it's just continuing to get better. It came out at 385,000. The estimate was 400,000, so it was a little better than expected. But the big number was Friday, the May jobs report, and so the ad was 559,000. Now, the estimates were 670,000, and some people thought it could be north of that given how great the April report was. So this was not strong enough to cause the markets to react. And why that's going to react, I'll talk about this in a minute here, is because the Fed. So what this has seen from a market standpoint, and by the way, the unemployment rate, 5.8%. So again, that's trending downward. It's building momentum. That's what we're seeing. It's a slow momentum build in a positive direction. And remember, we're still off about 7.6 million jobs pre-pandemic. So overall, you know, it shows that people are coming back to work. It's getting better. The numbers are increasing. And those are all good news. But it's not hot enough, if you will, to cause people to start worrying about, at least this week, about inflation. So now that it looks like most of the stimulus is out there and we don't see any prospect for more stimulus coming in the immediate future, the market is starting to digest the news that's out there, and we're kind of at a fork in the road as I'd like to call it. And so I wanted to take some time today and provide some plain English analysis of what could go right from here, which would resume the rally up and to what extent, and what could go wrong, which could cause a real correction, which I know many people are concerned about. So let's start with what could go wrong first. Well, certainly COVID could come back. You don't want to rule out the variant causing another COVID scare. And if that were to happen, then this market would fall hard as a normal economy is very much priced into the stock market right now. But if it doesn't happen, then, if it does happen, then it's get defensive immediately. And the types of stocks that would benefit from that again occurring would be your large cap tech once again, treasuries, your short-term bonds. Those are the things that would benefit if COVID were to come back in a meaningful way. The other thing that could go wrong are yields would spike. Now, numerous candidates that could cause yields to rise would be the Fed simply just bungling their tapering, or like we just talked about, inflation not being temporary, being too hot if some of the economic indicators we look at were seen as, you know, way out of bounds. And a spike in yields would definitely undermine the current market multiple, in other words, where the S&P 500 is trading right now, which is right around 20 times earnings when you start to figure it out. So what does that mean? How far could the market go down if any of those things were to pop up? Well, you could see it drop 10 to 20%. And so right now the support level that we've drawn in the sand, if you will, is 3,500. So if you want to write that down, the S&P 500, that would be the downward area you could expect, and that would be the support before something worse would happen. So 3,500. Now, what could go right? Well, earnings become sustainable. Certainly, if you say the last several quarters, earnings have been not just good, but fantastically good, I would agree with you. And that's because we've opened back up and things are starting to go, you know, much better. But they haven't resulted in a rally quite yet, because investors aren't convinced that this is sustainable. And because that's the momentum, as I just talked about, it's starting to build. It hasn't faded. And so this momentum as it builds, hopefully will convince the investors that this is real and earnings are sustainable. And of course, we'll see that in the reports. And if that were to happen, then this market, believe it or not, could rally higher. So how much higher? Well, if you consider that the 2022 S&P 500 estimates rise to, say, 225, then a 20-time multiple on that S&P 500 means 4,500. And if yields don't spike, meaning they stay low, the Fed does a good job of balancing their efforts they've been up to, which is fascinating, I must say. It's certainly trend-setting, and it's new. We've never seen this sort of activity before. Then the net result is expansion of the multiple that I just used. So if we're in a strong recovery and yields stay low like they are now, then there's nothing to stop these multiples to go to 21 or 22 times. And if you do that, the best case scenario, get this, would be 49.50 on the S&P 500. It's a pretty good rise. So I know we're kind of stuck in this trading range right now. You're seeing this 4060 to 4200 on the S&P. But if we see either one of those violated, then you're going to see that market move one way or the other, probably about 150 points. And again, as these earnings continue to come out, if it looks like it's sustainable, expect 45 to now 4950 on the upside. I'd say 4700 would probably be a good balance between those two, if you're just trying to pick a number out there to do something about it. But that's the technical charts right now. So I thought I'd give that to you so at least you have some information to think about. But for now, certainly the outlook for stocks still remains positive. All four pillars are intact. And given the economic recovery that we keep seeing week over week, I still continue to favor the cyclicals. Yes, even the value, I know it's outperformed growth pretty well this year, but I still like it. And financials, materials, certainly commodities, and industrials as well. So those are all the things you should be looking at. And next week, we're going to get some more inflationary information, which we have to keep paying attention to with the consumer price index. And of course, as I've been talking about, the consumer credit will be out next week as well. So those are very telling inflationary indicators. And so we definitely want to be paying attention to those because, again, it's not going to take much to move this one way or the other. So coming up next, you know, I've just heard this. It seems like almost every week. Should I move to Nevada? It's so close. There's no tax. Or what about Florida? The weather's great. So Nevada or Florida, which state should you move to if you want to pay lower taxes on your income in retirement? Find out what the top states are to live in for retirees from a tax perspective when we come back. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. Guess who just got back
today? You can ask The Sandman questions and hear this show, Protect Your Assets, hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, The Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as The Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. So perhaps you've thought about cashing in on your house. After all, it's risen in value. Or maybe you have a rental property you're thinking about selling and moving to another state, possibly, to retire and pay so much less tax than what we're paying here in California. Well, if you are, then today we're going to be talking about the most tax-friendliest states, I'll call them, and the least tax-friendliest states. And you want to know this information, certainly, before you move. Heck, you may even learn something you didn't know. So what sort of facts are we using to determine this information? Well, first of all, we need to look at the type of tax you're going to be paying in retirement. And so it all starts with sources of income. So for today's discussion, here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Social Security being around $38,000 a year. 401k distribution, as you know, when you turn 72, you have to start taking money out of that. So in this case, we're looking around a little over $26,000. Maybe you have a pension or some sort of an immediate annuity that's paying out income. In this case, we're looking at a little over $18,000 of that sort of income. Maybe you have an IRA and you want to take some money out of your IRA. So we threw $4,000 in there from an IRA. How about a Roth? You know, Roths are tax-free, and of course, those distributions are not taxable. So in this case, we used $2,000 coming out of a Roth. And then we had some municipal bond interest, because that typically is not federally taxed. And as you know, if you live in that state, and this is something to think about, if you have a California municipal bond, and let's say you moved to Arizona, well, then you're going to lose some of that tax favored treatment because you're not a resident anymore of California. So in this case, we were looking at municipal bond interest, national interest. So again, you're going to pay some tax on that. And then dividends, some dividends from some stocks and some long-term capital gains. So just kind of threw all that in there. And then we had some deductions, some medical expenses around $10,000. We had the person paying about $3,200 in real estate taxes, and had a mortgage deduction of $1,500 and $4,300 to charity. So those are sort of the numbers we're working with as we get into this today. I won't go through that again, but now you know who we're talking about. And so if you're paying that sort of, if you're receiving that kind of income or more, then definitely listen up. So Nevada is the first one. It's the closest typically if you're in Northern California, and a lot of people go to Tahoe and say, why don't I buy another house up in Tahoe and I'll just stay up there for over 6 months and change my intent to live in Nevada and do everything I need to do to prove that I actually live there. And so a lot of clients ask me about that, and some end up doing that. They sell their Bay Area home and move up to the mountains and live in Nevada. Well, get this. Nevada is one of the most, I'll call it, tax-friendly states in the nation. As you know, there is no state income tax. And get this, the average combined state and local sales tax rate is 8.23%. So that's where they make it up. Now, what about the tax rate on your residence? So certainly most residents aren't as, I'll say, wildly overpriced as we'll see in the Bay Area or the LA or Orange County area. So in Nevada, the median property tax rate is, get this, write this down, $533 per every 100,000 of assessed home value. So again, looking at the national level, that's a pretty good amount. And then even more important, as you know, we feel that the estate tax rate will be dropping from the current 11.5 million down to 5 to 3.5 million, and sort of in that range as we get these new tax changes that we're going to see here in the next few months. So Nevada does not have any estate or inheritance tax, and that's important. So think about it this way. If you retire in Nevada, well, then you could hit it big. You can cash in your retirement plans. You can collect your Social Security checks, and there won't be any state tax bill. And also, when we look at the national average of just your property tax rate, like I talked about, $533 per 100,000 of assessed home value is pretty good. And but this is something you need to know about. If you're a senior, meaning you're over 65, the state offers no tax breaks for you. And that's going to be different from some other states we're going to talk about this morning. So if you're a senior or you're going to become a senior living in Nevada, that's not going to do you any good. Also, the sales tax is one area where Nevada could do better. So this is how this breaks down. Again, write this down, particularly if you're thinking of moving there. The state imposes a 6.85% tax, and counties can also tack on up to 1.53% more. So as a result, the average combined state and local sales tax rate is 8.23%, and that is the 13th highest combined rate in the country. So that's where they're going to be getting it from you. And so if you're buying things like cars, or, you know, I don't know how much you spend at the grocery store each week or what you buy, but those are things to think about, because maybe you're going to have more money, you're going to spend more things and buy more things, but you'll be paying maybe more tax. So sales tax it is. So realize that. And so since we're reaching out to states that are next to us, let's go to Arizona, because I've had a couple clients who've moved to Arizona, and certainly people are thinking about Arizona. I will give that a ranking as one of the most tax-friendly states as well. The median property tax rate, again, not far off Nevada, it's $617 per 100,000 of assessed home value. And so certainly if you're looking for sunshine and more sunshine and desert weather, dryness, low taxes, well, the Grand Canyon State does exempt Social Security benefits from state income tax. Plus, get this, you get up to $2,500 of income from federal and Arizona government retirement plans. That'll be absolutely not taxed. Up to $3,500 of military retirement income is also tax-free in Arizona. So if you have a military pension, or maybe your spouse, if someone who has a pension, that's great. Other states have more generous exemptions, but Arizona's low income tax rates for most people keep the net burden down overall. So note this, that starting this year in 2021, Arizona is going to impose a 3.5% surtax on taxable income over $500,000 for joint filers. And if you're a single filer, it's going to be over $250,000. So super important to look at the types of income you're going to create if you're going to move there. And it may make sense to start to consider generating completely tax-free income if you're going to move there and need that kind of income to support your lifestyle. So there are ways to do that, and we can help you with that, but you need to think about that. So sales taxes in Arizona, well, they're above average. And the average combined state and local rate, get this, 8.4%. That is the 11th highest in the nation. And so Arizona does not have an estate or an inheritance tax either, just like Nevada didn't. So that makes it more attractive if you have an estate and you're trying to pass that on to your children. But again, see how they get you on the sales tax. That's where that is. Coming up next, don't miss our popular They Say segment, where they say the number one place to live in retirement is Florida. Find out if they're right. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with the Sandman. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. He knew right then he was too far
from home. Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. So I know maybe you're thinking about relocating to a warmer state, especially since you've accumulated all that equity in your home and you're thinking, well, I'm going to retire. It's a rite of passage to go play golf or do something in another area. But before you move for better weather or to be closer to your grandchildren or whatever your reason might be, definitely take the temperature of your budget and how taxes and the cost of living in that area will have a lasting impact on your golden years. So lower housing costs, for example, in a particular state could make your retirement savings last a lot longer, but state and local taxes will definitely hit your bottom line. So that's why today we're going to be talking about the most tax-friendliest areas in the nation and some of those that maybe you thought were friendly, but in reality aren't. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers, and here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say. They say that Florida is the best place to live in retirement. Is that really true? Well, it could be from a tax perspective. It's good, but it's not that good, and here's why. Well, certainly there is no state income tax, and that's certainly appealing. The average, now again, this is the average. The average combined state and local sales tax rate is 7.08%. And this is where they get you. The average median property tax rate is $830 per $100,000 of assessed home value. And it's true, there is no estate or inheritance tax there from a state level. But as you know, as we've been talking about, that federal level is, in my opinion, going to be changing. It's going to be going from $11.5 million probably down to $3.5 million. So if you have an estate north of that, then it's very important that you get to talk to us. As you know, we are attorneys, we do estate planning, and we'd be more than happy to talk to you about ways to take advantage of that current $11.5 million as it exists right now. Now, I know the Sunshine State, Florida, is the quintessential retirement state. A lot of people retire there, and it's very popular for retirees, not just because of the climate, but also because there's no state income tax. But like I said, these sale taxes can go as high, believe it or not, 8.5% depending on where you live. Now, the average, like I said, is 7.05. That's average. So it's not as great as you might think. And depending on which area you live, particularly the more of the popular ones, 8.5%. So again, that's not really a break. Residents who are ages 65 and older who meet certain income, property value, and length of ownership restrictions can also receive an extra, what's known as a homestead exemption on your property tax, and any widow or widower may also claim an additional $500 of exemption as well. Now, lots of clients lately have been saying, well, what about Washington? Seattle's a nice town. So get this, the overall tax ranking on a national level, I'd say is mixed. Not so great, not so bad, but certainly not so great. And here's why. The median property tax rate, so if you own a home in Washington, as you know, the values have gone up, particularly in Seattle, quite a bit. 9.23% or $929 per $100,000 of assessed home value. So remember, earlier we were talking about fives and sixes. Well, now you're looking at $929 per $100,000. and they don't have a Proposition 13 there. So that's that could be a lot of money, particularly if you're buying a, you know, a comparable home to what you have here, thinking it's going to be less. Well, it's not that much less. And then when you start to figure out every year the property tax rates you're going to be paying, that could sting. So also they don't, they do have an estate tax, also known as inheritance tax. So again, your heirs may be paying quite a bit of money on your estate if you're thinking of moving there. So that's the Evergreen State, and it is one of the seven states with no broad-based personal income tax. And of course, that sounds so great. And retirees don't have to worry about paying taxes on pension income, Social Security, IRA distributions, anything like that. But remember, the sales tax, this is extremely high. I'm not going to even say it's high. It's extremely high. The sales taxes in Washington are 9.23%. And that state and local sales tax rate is the fourth highest in the nation. So that's where they're going to get you to. And property taxes in Washington, like I said, are reasonable. They're median, but still $929 per $100,000 of home assessed value. Next, what about Texas? Well, I'm not sure what Elon Musk was thinking, but Texas is one of the least tax-friendliest places you could live in retirement. Really? Yeah, here. How does a state with no income tax at all end up on the least friendly side of things? Well, it starts by having the seventh highest median property tax rate in the country. Get ready for this. Median property tax rate in Texas is $1,692 per $100,000 of assessed home value. You heard me right, $1,692 per $100,000. Sales taxes in Texas are also high. The average combined state and local tax rate in the state is 8.19%, which is the 14th highest combined rate in the U.S. Now, of course, there isn't a state or inheritance tax. That's good. But again, as you start to add these things up, you could see why this might not be such a great decision depending on your situation. Coming up next, is South Carolina or Tennessee better to retire to? Find out. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here to Protect Your Assets. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. If you've thought about cashing in on all that equity that's now in your real estate, well, you're not alone. A lot of people are moving out of California. I'm sure you've heard about this, and they're going to other states to retire, and that's because they can take that equity and do so much more with it instead of having it all buried in the ground. But you know what? A lot of these other states aren't so tax friendly when you start to really dig in. And so this morning we've been covering some of the most popular, I'll call them least tax friendly, and some of those that are pretty good when you actually look at the numbers. So this morning we're talking about states and which states have the friendliest and least friendliest places to live, particularly among the most popular states. So I've covered quite a few this morning: Nevada, Florida. If you've missed any of the discussion this morning, go back and listen to our podcast where you can hear which ones are better than others. But these are a couple other two that are becoming very popular. South Carolina has always been one. But what about Tennessee? A lot of people are going to Nashville right now and having a great time. It's certainly becoming a very popular area to visit. So what's better, South Carolina or Tennessee, if you're going to retire? Well, the answer, it's a toss-up. South Carolina is one of the most tax-friendly states out there. It's called the Palmetto State, and it extends some real southern hospitality to retirees by offering a charming collection of income tax breaks. Let's start out with Social Security. They are completely tax-free. In addition, if you are a taxpayer who is 65 or older, you can exclude, get this, up to $10,000 of retirement income. Yeah. Seniors can also, seniors are defined as people 65 and over, can also deduct $15,000 from other taxable income sources. That's for a single person. And if you're a joint filer, if you're married, double that, $30,000. So that's pretty good. It's kind of like a refund in a way. Also, the property tax rates are really low in South Carolina, and this helps retirees too, as many people come from other states to learn about that. So get this, the statewide median property tax rate is the sixth lowest in the country at $545 per $100,000 of assessed home value. That's super low compared to Washington that we were just talking about, which is double that. So seniors can also claim what's known as a homestead exemption, and that means for the first $50,000 of your property's fair market value, that's completely protected using the homestead exemption. The bad news, well, they got to get you somewhere. Sales taxes are on the higher end in South Carolina with an average combined state and local tax rate of 7.46%. But there is no estate or inheritance tax there. So again, if you're thinking of spending your golden years there and then obviously passing away at some point, passing those heirs on to your children, well, no state or inheritance tax there, which is great. How about Tennessee? Tennessee, on the other hand, is also one of the most tax-friendly states in the nation. So if you like music in a casual setting, this could be a great place for you. The median property tax rate is $636 per $100,000 of assessed home value. So that's pretty good. And there is no estate tax or inheritance tax as well. So that's also very good. Retirees in the volunteer state, Tennessee is known as the volunteer state, will be singing Rocky Top all the way to the bank thanks to a low overall tax burden in that state because Tennessee has, get this, no income tax starting this year, 2021. That's right. So that's a big deal. No state income tax on your income starting in 2021. Like we said, the median property tax rate as well is $636 per $100,000 of assessed value. So again, that's relatively on the low side when I look at all the other states that we surveyed. And this state also offers some property tax relief programs if you are an income qualified senior citizen. So again, we want to look into that if you're thinking about moving there and buying property. And you will be singing the blues at the cash register. Get prepared for this because this is what I'll call a substantial sales tax. Tennessee has one of the highest combined state and local sales tax rates in the nation, which averages 9.55%. So again, think about what you're going to need to buy, what your lifestyle looks like, and factor all that in. In fact, we can do all that. We can factor all this in to your plan to see which states might make sense. So you can answer this question, you know, are you going to actually outlive your money or how will your money behave in your retirement? Just a lot of people don't know that. So knowing your plan can withstand, say, a 30% market drop, right? You're living off your income and all of a sudden we have a big 30% correction. What's that going to do to your living lifestyle? And as the markets right now are exceedingly hitting these new lofty levels, you got to ask yourself the question, where and when will that market drop? And how is that going to affect your overall retirement? Well, I don't know if you know this, but we can actually test that and we can answer that question definitively for you using our proprietary software that we use to show our clients their retirement. And this is what we do at the Liberty Group. We give people like you those kind of answers and help you make adjustments now before it's too late so you have so much more confidence as you make these decisions entering into your retirement. And just knowing that you have done these things when these events occur and you're prepared for them and you know what's going to happen, because again, our software can show you that, you're ready. You're ready to deal with it and you make so much better decisions. And let's face it, you just feel better. You feel more relaxed, which is what it's all about. I'd like to give a big thanks to the entire Protect Your Assets team this morning for putting together another great show. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all of my fabulous producers back there, Phil and Brett, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. And the views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.